Howdy. Yes, that's it. This is the Brutal Gamecast, Gamercast, and it is, it's that thing. Yeah, it's the show we do. And it's early on a Sunday morning. Well, early. It's 9:14. And, we're recording this now, in the present. Rick's being a Rick hero because it's only 7 where he is. So he's awake, and he's, well.
Rick, you're a trooper.
I'm a stormtrooper.
Yes.
That's it. So, we have a really packed show this week, actually. So, let's just get right down to it. We got DC's subscription thing has been announced and unveiled and kind of detailed. So, I didn't actually write this or read this. So,
nobody wrote this because I didn't get to it this week. So, but I think Rick knows plenty about it, right?
Yeah. Oh crap! I thought you wrote this.
No.
We'll
have an article up next week, but just to go.
I have some things about it. There's going to be Teen Titans show will be on it, which is a live show, and then there's going to be other shows, Harley Quinn animated series. Never even heard of it, but apparently, I guess it's pretty popular. And then, what's the other one? I don't know.
Is that Superhero Girls, Rick?
I couldn't tell you, sir.
Okay.
There's gonna be a bunch of comics. I haven't seen a price point yet, though, so that's one thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's gonna be all ready for launch in August, so they say.
That's great. We have a we have one story up about it, but it's just related. But it sounds like you're going to get the ability to buy like exclusive stuff too that other people can't buy if you're a subscriber to the subscription service. So I mean, there's an incentive if it's not too much to do. I wasn't gonna sign up for this, but one of the incentives in particular, which we'll go over later, is pretty cool, and I definitely want to get a hold of that. And then the Titans actually looks really good, so
yeah, I'll definitely be subscribing as well.
Is this going to be the thing that where you get the comics too, access to the comics?
Yes.
Cool.
So I have like a few. I think there's a few thousand comics to start off with. I'll ramp it up as it goes on.
Yeah, I might try to do this.
Ooh. Good God.
Sorry.
Bless you.
Thank you.
There's a nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
The Brutal Gamer nuclear reactor.
Yes. So, and then there'll also be some exclusive shows, I think they said. Like, there's going to be like a Swamp Thing show.
Yes.
What else? Yeah.
Kind of excited.
Yeah. So, and then I'm sure all the DCW shows will live on there as well. So,
well, that'll be cool. I guess that means
they'll be exiting Netflix as well. So
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
And you know, with
you better get your DCW shows on rather quickly here, probably through the end of the year, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, with Disney's streaming service that's going to launch next year. There's not going to be too much for, I mean, a lot of the cool stuff that Netflix has, you know, they have a lot of Marvel stuff, Disney stuff. So, and the DC stuff, they're just losing.
I assume they'll have, you know, they'll have their Netflix Marvel shows, like, you know, but that's probably it. The movies and stuff like that are probably all gone, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, yeah, that's a neat. I'll probably be subscribing to that so I can read some old comics that I never read before.
Justice League, yeah. 80s. Read it.
Are they good?
Yes.
Are they
Justice
fun?
Justice League International.
Yes, that's the one. Yes.
That's a good one.
They're really fun.
I'm going to have to look into it.
Do it.
But, until then, We have some games with gold and game PlayStation Plus games that were announced this past week, and they will be going live. Well, some of them went live today, the Xbox, and the other ones will be going live on Tuesday.
Yay.
So,
Rick, do you want to
see the games of gold? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on Games with Gold, starting today, you'll be able to get Assault Android Cactus from Witch Beam. And then for the 360, you'll be able to get Virtua Fighter 5 from Sega. And starting on July 16th, you can get Death Squared from SMG Studio on the Xbox One. And then through the Xbox 360 backward compatibility program, you can get Splinter Cell Conviction Ubisoft.
It's worth it.
So
Conviction's good.
Yeah. And, you know, I was actually watching the video on this Assault Android Cactus. It looks like a fun game. It's a co-op.
I actually downloaded it this morning before we started recording.
Yeah, we should check it out.
It seems, it seems fine.
Yeah. And then Virtua Fighter is Virtua Fighter. And then Death Squared is, I have no idea. You're like this little robot, square robot. There's puzzles. You have to make it through the puzzles somehow. And then everybody knows what's up with Splinter Cell. So not a great month, but not a horrible month. So
that Splinter Cell was the last one with Michael Ironside as Sam Fisher.
Okay.
I am hoping he's going to come back for the next one.
Yeah.
Well, if there ever is a new one.
Oh, there has to. Come on.
I don't know. How long has it been? It's been a while since we got one.
Thanks. Splinter Cell, whatever the last one was called.
Was it the one that was in the week? The Blacklist one?
Yeah, that's.
I like that one.
Yeah, I didn't play it.
It was fine.
Whatever.
All right. We got some PlayStation Plus ones.
Oh, here, yeah, right.
Which I think are better than the Xbox games this month. But. No, I know some other people don't agree with me that one.
Yes, I would not agree because I think Conviction is better than all of these together.
Wow.
But,
well.
Yeah. I know, it's exciting. I know.
There it is.
I know.
We got the Heavy Rain, which is coming out on the PlayStation Plus on like the heels of Detroit Become Human. Yeah. And we have Absolver. Absolver looked really cool. It came out last year. Never played it. Probably will now, though. PS3 gets Rayman 3 HD and Deception 4, The Nightmare Princess. I don't know what that means. PS Vita gets Space Overlords and Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma, which I have actually heard good things about, but I've not played it, and it's not really on my list to play. Mm. So, yay!
Yeah, I was just looking through some Vita games that I have and thinking I should just take all of the games, the console, everything, and just get rid of it because I will never play these things.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right. A fair... Yeah, right. Well, you can't play them on a console that doesn't exist.
That's true. It's actually a figment of everyone's imagination. It's not real.
Cool. So there we go. That's it. That's all.
Those are free.
Free games.
Okay.
Blazing Chrome.
That is something that's here.
It's a thing. It's a thing, and I know about it. And if you haven't seen it, you should watch the trailer because it looks really cool. Blazing Chrome is like a Contra-like. They're promoting this as Contra meets like Metal Slug, but I don't see any Metal Slug in this. I see all Contra, which is not a bad thing. That's good. But it looks really, really cool. Side-scrolling action, 16-bit, crafted to look like a 16-bit game. It looks awesome. It's coming out on the PC. There's no release date yet, but we have the trailer up. This is from a company called Joy Smasher. Looks fantastic. So if you're into Contra, classic 16-bit action stuff, you should definitely go check out this trailer and probably check out this game.
Cool. Yeah, looks good. Neat. Even.
Yeah. I'm in.
Glad some there's some things that some people are excited for this week.
Wow.
Including Nintendo Download is pretty good this week. I think anyway.
What's in it?
I don't Jason's very excited about these things.
I
guess I can go through it if Jason wants
to. No, I can do it. Okay. It's up to you. I have already acquired both of these games, and I have played a good deal of Crash again. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy hit this week, has two new levels, which are not exclusive to the Switch. You can get them elsewhere. But I guess they're right on the cartridge for the Switch. So it includes the first three Crash Bandicoot games, completely remastered. I shouldn't say remastered, redone. And it's a great game. We reviewed it last year. I think it's just as good. The graphics are a little bit downgraded, as you can imagine, but in handheld mode, it looks fantastic. And even on the big screen, it doesn't look that bad. So, I mean, this is a good one if you like platformers. Then the other one, the other headlining game this week is Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, which hits the Switch. It has a heavy download if you buy the cartridge version. So be prepared for an hour and a half of downloading.
How long does it take to download if you just download it?
That I don't know, but the download itself, in addition to the cartridge, took an hour and a half for me last night. That's why I didn't play it. So. Just to let everybody know, I don't know what how big the game is by itself, so I don't know how you'd scale that if you were downloading them, but I don't know, probably take a while, so be aware. This actually looks pretty good. Looks like a good port. I'm happy with the purchase, and I'll see if I remain that way. It has motion controls, which I will not be using. So if anyone is into that,
why do you hate the good motion controls?
They're not good. They're terrible.
They are.
No.
I'll fight you. They're good.
All right.
With the motion controls?
Yes.
No, they're fine.
No.
They're it's more precise than the sticks.
No, they're annoying.
All right.
Aggravating.
You guys should fight each other through the Labos, Stabos.
I think Eric and I should just have a show all about this where we just say yes and no back and forth for an hour.
That would be good.
They should make up a Labo game called Labo Stabo, and then you would just craft cardboard like cut off knives, and then you could just stab each other with like cardboard shivs.
Labo Stab. Lame-o game-o. But let's move on. So, also this week, the Neo Geo title is Money Puzzle Exchanger. I have no idea what that is.
Awesome.
You don't know what this is?
I'm pretty sure it's not a fighting game or a shoot 'em up. So, I don't know.
It looks like a puzzle. Oh, wait. Yeah, it says that right in the name.
It's a puzzle. But I've never seen this before. Money Puzzle.
Just exchange money into other people? Are you like someone comes in, they're like, I need Canadian dollars and I have American dollars, and then you just exchange it?
Is it a bank simulator?
This looks like Sailor Moon Puzzle Fighter.
What?
I mean, that's not what it literally is, but it looks like...
Oh, that's so weird. Thank you, Neo Geo. there's another arcade, I think, game hitting this week. Isn't there Johnny Turbo? I think there's a Johnny Turbo title, but I don't actually see it here. There's an Arcade Archives. It's Renegade. So another huge game. Then there's Anima, Gate of Memories, Dream Alone, Figment, Fossil Hunters, Grave Danger, which I think I've heard of that one. Two big indies in Inside and Limbo. So I guess
that's, those are cool. Limbo is one of my favorites when it launched on the 360 originally.
Nice.
And, I probably won't pick them up again, but it's cool that they're here. And Inside came like last year, the year before. It was really apparently good.
Excellent. Then there's the actual game of the week, MotoGP 18. Then there's Necropara, which I have no idea what that is. No Heroes Here, Photon Cube, Runbo, Spirit Sphere DX, The Journey Down, Chapter 2, Waking Violet, Blockapix Color, and IFO, which I think was a musical group in the 90s. That's it. So, some nice big games, some good indies. And if you are a sucker for the racing, MotoGP. So, there you go. That's the Nintendo download.
Neato Burrito. Neato Burrito, that's right. Okay. Moving on. We have some Kong DLC. DLC.
Oh, my God.
I apologize. For the Mario Cross Rabbids game.
Have you gotten this already?
No. No, I haven't.
Will you get this?
I want it, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, probably at some point, but... Yeah.
Well, let's be honest.
This has Donkey Kong and a rabid Cranky Kong as playable characters, and you get a whole new... what's the word for that? Like a mini campaign. It's like half the length of the original game's campaign.
Is it that big?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Wow.
And it also adds some new co-op levels and stuff like that. So.
Cool. It looks good. It's that big rabid Kong from the main game apparently takes over Donkey Kong's Island. So.
I believe it. When you shoot him away. When you
yeah, so it's Donkey Kong versus Rabid Kong.
Man, I loved Donkey Kong. Last night we were at this barbecue and a couple of my buddies commandeered the Switch and we started playing Mario Kart 8. It was great. That was Donkey Kong.
Nice.
It was good. That's all I have to add to that conversation. I just like Donkey Kong a lot. He's a good boy.
I like the Donkey Kong. I like Mario plus Rabbids. Good game.
No, it's really incredible what they did with it. And for a sequel, which, I mean, I would really hope they're going to make a sequel. The only thing I could think would be more variation in team compositions. Because the way it works right now, I mean, you played the game, is that you had to have Mario as the leader and you had to have one Rabbid. So there wasn't too much. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of variation you could do, but it wasn't like you couldn't have like Rabbid Peach and regular Peach,
right?
And Yoshi, so you couldn't do it.
Yeah, because I probably, you know, no knock against the Rabbids, but I would have loaded up on Mario character.
Yeah, and you know, I even like the Rabbids. I mean, I'm a fan of the Rabbids, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't just use like Mario and Luigi and Peach if I got the chance.
Exactly. And poor Toad. Poor Toad.
Man, I don't even feel bad for him. I don't like him.
Oh, come on. You don't like Toad?
No.
You like Captain Toad? Treasure Tracker?
Yes. Yes, I do. That is one I do like.
All right.
But when does that come out?
I think it's this month.
Well, that's a good one. I had it on the Wii U, though, so I'm probably not going to get it again. I don't think they're adding too much to it.
I think we talked about this, but no, I don't really think they're adding very much at all. So I'm not going to bother again either. But I really enjoyed it. Good game.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. It was kind of a cool game to just sit down and unwind with. It wasn't too intense, but it also wasn't like a life sim. So you still felt like you were playing a game. It wasn't like you were playing Animal Crossing or something.
Right. I played the whole thing on the gamepad.
Yeah.
Fun. Put the TV on, sit there. It's fun.
So we got so you kind of already talked about this a little bit in the download.
Yeah.
But Nintendo Switch and Crash Bandicoot are finally one.
Yes, at long last. I don't know why I thought this was such a natural fit for Crash on the Switch, but it really is. And again, I'm playing it now. I think I'm about halfway through the first game, and it's really, really, really good. Honestly, I think it might be a little bit easier, unless I'm just, you know, better now.
I was going to ask if you think that's because it's easier to control now because you're not using the janky PS1 controllers.
No, because I played this on PS4, and I didn't find it this easy. So I don't know why. I feel like it's a little bit easier. I do have to say, though, I was playing with the Joy-Con last night, and there were some odd control things. One time, I was making this one jump, and every time I would make the jump, there was an enemy right at the end of the jump, and every time I would make the jump, even though I didn't touch the enemy, I would get pushed back. And it was a very strange kind of a thing. It definitely felt glitchy. It didn't feel like that was a thing that was happening, like the enemy was attacking you. It felt glitchy. So I don't know. I'll see if that pops up anywhere else in the game. But right now, that was a little strange. That was one thing. So I will pay attention. I'll probably, if there's anything worth talking about, I'll snapshot this. And we'll maybe talk about it. But yeah, it's a little strange. I'll pay attention.
Neat. Well, I'm glad it's finally here. Rey Mysterio is joining WWE 2K19.
Yeah, WWE.
I said E.
I heard A.
Well, listen. I'm sorry. Maybe you're right. Maybe I was wrong.
Yes, and this is awesome.
I agree. I love Rey Mysterio.
There you go. But do you love WWE 2K?
No, I will not be getting it.
Yeah. I got this on the Switch. I got the last one on the Switch, 18. And it actually is not terrible. But I will not be buying another wrestling game for a while unless they switch back to Aki as a developer.
Yeah.
These are not my kind of wrestling game, but it's not bad. Anyway, Rey Mysterio is in here. He will be a part of the bonus pack. If you pre-order, you get two mystery wrestlers. The first is revealed to be Rey, who is an enormous star, who was a huge star in Lucha Libre, in WCW, and then in WWF at the time. Probably don't have to say too much about him. The second wrestler is so far still a mystery. They'll be revealing him in the weeks to come. And that's it. You get the two if you pre-order. So, I mean, if you're going to get
this anyway. Who do you think it's going to be? If you had to guess. A realistic guess.
John a realistic Cena. Guess.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be in the game.
Yeah.
A realistic guess. Let me think.
Dwayne The Rock.
Yeah. No. Boy, that would be a letdown.
Yeah, serious.
Why? What's wrong with him?
He's just The Rock.
Yeah, it's The Rock.
I followed his wrestling stuff.
Did you ever follow wrestling?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to guess Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's my realistic guess.
I like it.
I have no idea. One. Yeah. I mean, they actually rattle off a list of some of the exclusives that have hit in the same manner. It's like Kurt Angle, Goldberg, Sting, Ultimate Warrior, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. There could be a pretty big star waiting. I mean, Rey is big enough, but it could be, you know, like a classic guy. So we'll see.
I think it's going to be Mankind.
Ooh. Yeah, you might be right.
That'd be awesome.
They just had the anniversary of that Hell in a Cell, too.
I know. That's what I made think of it.
Yeah, friggin' 20 years.
I'm surprised the guy's still alive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's definitely got some kind of superpower to take hits.
Dude, geez Louise. Yeah, he does. Should have been a football player.
Yeah, really. So, this will be out this fall. And I assume we'll come to the PC after Xbox One and PS4. I don't think there's a Switch version coming up.
No, for you.
They've already announced the PC version. Okay. Usually they don't do that. Mm-hmm. They have. So PS4, Xbox One, and PC. No Switch version yet. We'll see if the one comes along, but I'm going to guess that 2K18 didn't sell that well. So there you go.
Untold Stories.
Yes.
It's not coming to consoles, which is a shame.
Were you looking forward to this?
Well, no, not now. Not find out what it is, and it's not on consoles.
It looks really good, though.
It does look really neat. What is it?
It is a isometric, I guess, shootery kind of a thing. You know, you pick one of two characters, you run around, shoot monsters. It has roguelike elements in that the house that you are trapped in sort of changes. That's like one of its gimmicks. So it kind of, this is another roguelike that the theme of roguelikes actually fits the narrative of the game. So it's, you know, it kind of makes sense. I'm not really a roguelike fan, but this makes sense. And so you run around fighting Cthulhu monsters, and it looks really cool. It's got that 16-bitty kind of a look to it. Oh, I'm sorry. There's five different characters. Professor of the Thief. Yeah, the detective, the witch, and the ghoul.
You can be.
Yeah, you could be a ghoul, Eric.
You can be a ghoul.
Come on.
That's just me in my everyday life.
Well. And I'm sure.
All the time.
I am sure, by the way, you would be able to play this. I think your PC would be.
I mean, it probably could, but it's the principle.
12 randomly generated levels. And five special levels, quote.
Special levels.
Yeah. You can improve your stats as you play, so there's a little bit of RPG-ish stuff in there. And madness awaits for those who learn too much. I don't know what that means.
Oh, God. I can't play that. Sounds too scary.
Collect and improve more than 30 weapons and hundreds of items and artifacts. Look for clues and special items to unlock more story. There you go.
Scary.
At some point.
Looks neat.
Oh, it's out. I'm sorry. It's in early access. Yes, it's scary.
I'm a huge fan of the Lovecraft stuff, like the Cthulhu mythos.
Oh, we know. We know, Eric.
Yeah. Yes. So it's really paining me not to want to get this. Ugh. I apologize for my yawns.
So once you get it.
What?
Why don't you get it?
It's the principle. I cannot play it on PC.
Understood.
Why? What's wrong with PC?
Everything.
Oh, man.
I don't really have a great reason. I just don't like sitting at my PC to play games.
Oh,
gotcha.
Look, the most stupidest things in the world that we don't... Who cares about this? Sonic Mania is getting, as everybody knows, a special edition, like, soon, I think. And it's going to be physical, and it's going to come with two extra characters, because that's what we needed. We needed Might and Ray. Might. One is a freaking flying squirrel, and the other one is, I don't care what it is, because it's
an armadillo.
Okay.
So. Piqued my interest. I think you are incorrect, Eric. Can armadillos go fast?
No.
Yeah, so what's his bit, though? So what's he even do?
He can't know.
Does he waddle around?
No, you know what he is? If you watch the video, you would see that he turns his back to attacks and he's like invincible.
That's stupid.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
it's not your fault. It's just stupid.
You know,
it is my fault. I designed that character, jerk.
Oh no.
That's kind of funny.
Poor Rick.
The drawing board for me.
As you may or may not know, this completely pointless special edition of Sonic Mania also comes with a reversible cover for the game itself, which will make it look like a Sega Genesis game, and the 32-page art book. It's actually
okay.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
July 17th.
Cool. Yeah, this will be here, and I hate that I might buy it because of the game.
Wait, after all that jazz, you said you're gonna buy it?
I want a physical copy of Sonic and Mania.
Do you like the art book?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the art book's cool. See, the thing is, I bought the collector's edition, and that didn't even come with a physical copy. It came with that freaking
that ticked me off, by the way.
That I'm looking at right now, and like a metal card and a cartridge, a fake cartridge with a ring inside of it.
Yeah,
and that was it. I was like, and a download code for the game, and I'm like, all right, this is crappy.
I thought the cartridge was kind of cool.
Yeah. Just fine, and it's gonna have that neat ring in it, but like,
yeah, I also thought the statue was no, you cannot take hits. I thought the statue was gonna be more of a statue and less of like a cheap feeling plastic thing,
yeah, no, yeah, no. Exactly.
Yeah, I should have known better, but I didn't.
But the Genesis has settings that you can turn up and down,
yes, that's right. It does.
Even though it doesn't do anything.
Listen, so people the important like thing is, this is very exciting.
Yeah, it's fine. And that's it. That's it for the news.
That is it, I think. Boy, that just kind of ended. Okay.
Rick.
Wait, what about Mario Kart 8 getting Labo support?
No. Jason also has a Foxed in the Forest review to talk about.
I do.
You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
No, I'll go first. Okay.
Okay.
So we finally posted our Fox and Forest review. It's totally my fault. This should have posted like weeks ago, but I totally forgot about it. V3 and it glossed right over. So anyway, Fox and Forest is another 16-bit like game. It is extremely well done. It's a platformer, action platformer. They talk about Super Nintendo and saying how they you know had that in mind when they were designing this. To me, it like screams Sega Genesis. I don't know why, but it just does. So
I agree with you there.
Ah, okay. So
feels
I'm not
much
crazy.
More Sega-y.
Yeah. It's got some great music. It's got some terrific graphics. The control is great. It has one big downside that Eric and I both agreed upon. Eric, by the way, produced a second opinion for this review, which you will find right at the bottom before the review stuff, before the score and everything like that, I mean. Which, by the way, I tagged it with an 87. And to summarize, I said Fox and Forest is a fantastic trip through a semi-lost genre. The platforming action is well done, the graphics are terrific, and the game oozes atmosphere and charm. The checkpoint system is not the best, but other than that, it's easy to recommend. And that is what Eric also pointed out. So do you want to say anything about the checkpoint system?
Yeah, they're just kind of a pain in the butt.
Yes.
What's wrong with it?
I actually haven't played this game since I was helping review it. So it's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
So I forget what my actual issues with the...
Well,
check system were, but I think
go ahead.
I think it was really easy to like miss them, and then if you die, you're kind of out of luck, just because of how easy it is to actually bypass the checkpoints.
Well, there's actually that is one of the things. The other thing is you have to pay in-game currency to activate a checkpoint.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. Harsh. You have to pay the. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You have
Piper.
To pay the.
Yeah.
Whatever he is.
He's like a badger, I think.
Yeah. And if you don't have enough money, you die. You're just out of luck.
He's actually a really cute character, and he has some funny lines. That's fine. But you have to pay in-game currency that you are supposed to use to upgrade your stuff. If you have to pay that to activate a checkpoint, that's just...
Damn. That's,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it kind of makes sense because it makes you think about how you want to use your currency.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the biggest issue with it, but it is kind of not the best.
No, I felt it was worth pointing out because I just think that's such a... for lack of a better term, I think it's a lousy idea to do that. If you're going to have checkpoints, just have checkpoints.
Right.
You know?
I like how Shovel Knight did it, where you get the checkpoint, and then if you want to gamble the checkpoint, you can break it to get money. But if you die, you don't have the checkpoint anymore.
That's cool. That's cool. That puts a unique spin on it. That is not abusive. This is like borderline. Fox and Forests, by the way, I should also mention that the main hook of it is that you can switch, no pun intended, since this is a Switch review, you can switch seasons. Every level has two seasons that you can switch between. And it's done really well and it comes off really well. It's easy to do. And the graphics are gorgeous. If you're into 16-bit side-scrollers, go check this out.
Very cool. Yeah, this is a really good, easy to recommend game, especially if you're a fan of games from that, time period, especially on the Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah, I just totally get Genesis.
I think it's like the characters and the writing make it feel more Genesis-y.
Hmm. Yeah, that could be. It's legitimately funny in some parts, especially the interactions he has with his little sidekick.
So
Rick the Fox.
All right, Rick, do you want to tell us about what's it called?
Yeah, Vampire with an R. Vampire.
Vampire.
So this game is from Don't Nod and Focus Home Entertainment. You play it as Dr. Jonathan Reed in the flu-stricken streets of London in 1918. And it's just a really great game. I would highly recommend it. I gave it a 91.
Nice.
And I said, take Jonathan Reed through the flu-stricken streets of London in this great narrative-driven action game. So the basis of the game is you wake up as Dr. Jonathan Reed, and you're a vampire. You don't know how you've been turned into a vampire, and that's pretty much the story of the game, is trying to figure out who turned you into a vampire and why they did that.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, so, and it's a great game. It's kind of small, but the way that they set up the world, it makes it a little bit bigger than it needs to, or bigger than it seems. There's like four districts, and inside each of these districts is about like 12 to 15 NPCs. And the difference in this game with the NPCs is they all have like different stories and they're all unique people. So that's kind of sets it aside than most normal games. So what's cool about this as well is you can get to know every single character and kind of get their backstory. And some of them have missions for you, like little side stories, side quests. Excuse me. And then kind of how this game works is you get some experience from battling and kind of progressing the story, but the most experience you can get for leveling up is through like killing and drinking the blood of these characters. So this game is all about choices, and the choices you make have like ramifications across everything. So for example, if you there's these guys, the characters are called pillars, and they're pillars of the community. And then, so everybody knows them. And if you kill them, each district has like a health level and it goes from 100 to 0. And if you kill one of them, I haven't killed any of pillars per se, but each time you kill a character, the health level of the district goes down. And if it goes down further enough, the district is taken over by like vampires, like lower range vampires. And then everybody dies and passes away. So it's kind of crazy. Let's see what else. There's a lot of talking in it. That's why I like to call it like a narrative-driven game. And there's definitely a lot of action in it, but it's not like the focal point of the game. The real main point of the story is to kind of get to know everybody in the districts and kind of see how the how it is living in this world, and then just kind of dealing with like the vampire lore on the side. So I would really highly recommend this game to anybody. It's just a great fun game. There's four different endings in it. There's one where if you don't kill anybody, you get some ending. But it's pretty hard to go ahead and try to get through this game without trying to take the experience from other people. And then obviously there's three other endings, and I have no idea what those other ones are. So, yeah.
So you actually can go. Yeah, I was going to ask you. You actually can go through this whole game without killing anybody?
Yeah, you certainly can. Well, not like you. Yeah, you can go through the whole game without killing anybody. That's not like part of the storyline. So,
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because I mean, you kill all these like vampire hunters. There's like bad guys that are vampire hunters, and there's other vampires. And then there's like lower level vampires that you kill, but those guys don't count really towards that total.
Okay.
Because yeah, you're making the community safer.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're also a doctor too. So like you can walk around and everybody gets sick like throughout the game. And then you have these little potions that you can give them and they'll feel better. And as you make these people feel better, their blood level gets higher. So they give you more points of experience. So it's just further enticing you.
So that's kind of rude.
Yeah, right.
It sounds kind of BioShock kind of.
It does sound like that.
It definitely is, because it's definitely. There was a point where I was stuck because I was trying not to feed on anybody, and I just got to a point where it was just too hard. So.
Oh no!
I had to make the crazy decision.
You turned bad.
No. I've only fed off of like three people. So
okay.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, you get stuck in these situations, and it's like, do you want to kill them and drink their blood? And you just have to make like a split second decision and stuff. So, and it's. Without playing the game, it's hard to decide, you know, what kind of ramifications are going to happen, or like the events happen afterwards. So it's pretty fun though. I like it. And the battle system is really cool. It's just like a hack and slash, and you can dodge, and then you have stamina. So you kind of have to be wary of that while you're battling. You can get like a sword or like other items. There's also like ranged items, and there's like a stun item. And then there's obviously the vampire powers. Again, I haven't had a lot of experience, so I don't know. I haven't earned all the powers yet, so I've just kind of been trying to figure out which ones are like the best one for in my play style. So, but it's fun in the sense that I'm going to go ahead and play it again and just be a jerk and kill everybody. So it's kind of fun in that sense.
Sounds cool.
It does sound really neat. So, this is the game I really want to get.
And the story's really good so far. I'm a little more than halfway through, and I've already played like 24 hours of it, and I'm only halfway through. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just taking my time and kind of going at it slowly, but, it's, pretty fun game. It's fun. And the other good thing too, what I was a little worried about is like the environment is not the greatest. Cause it's like it's always nighttime, obviously, cause you can't go out during the day. And it's also like, three of the four districts that I think you have to work through are quarantined. So they're just a mess, and there's not a lot of like flair to it. You know, a lot of grays and browns and stuff like that. But then once you get to a couple, like one of the new districts I just got to is like the upper part of town where Dr. Reed is from. He's actually like an affluent doctor, and he's been working in the study of blood. So, oh, the irony. but yeah, I would highly recommend this game. It's a blast, and the story's really good so far as well.
So what's your biggest problem with this game?
My biggest problem with this game is, and I know it might sound like a big thing, but it's just probably like nitpicky, is like there's a lot of talking in this game, right? So when you start to talk to someone, it becomes a very static moment. And there's not like, you just face each other. and then you can kind of move the camera around a little bit. But for all the talking that does happen, you know, it'd be nice if like you could just simply move the characters, like maybe in like Assassin's Creed, you know, when you're used to talking to someone and you can kind of move them around, or maybe sit on a bench, just like mix it up. Like, I know those are like stupid little nitpicky things, but it's just so like, if you're playing for like an hour or two, like you might spend more than an hour in cutscenes talking to people. So it just becomes a really, you know, repetitive static moment in the game. So that's my one drawback to the game.
Gotcha. So for people who like to listen to like podcasts while they play games, this would be tough to do that with. There's a lot of talking.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of talking.
Cool. Well, it doesn't turn me off of it. I'm just curious. A lot of times I'll put podcasts on while I'm playing games if the game allows it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. No, you got to pay attention. Yeah, like what Jason was just saying. You got to pay attention because they'll give you like clues to like other people. And like, because like some people are like have social circles of up to like 5 other NPCs. So they'll be connected some way. So you kind of have to like, it'll tell you that you just earned a new clue to a new character, but you kind of have to remember where that person was.
Cool. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. And it's just fun in that sense, because it's just like you get to a point where you're just like, am I going to kill this person or just let them, you know, play out their role in the game or whatnot. So it's fun in that sense.
Cool.
Or yeah, if they ever bother you, you're just like, I'm going to eat them. So.
Do you know how much this game retails for? Like, if I want to go pick it up, am I going to pay?
I don't know.
Sounds like it's full retail.
I think it is. I'm just curious.
Let me check.
I mean, this is like, you know, it's a pretty big release.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just wanted to ask because like, I wasn't sure if it's one of those games that's like, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's full retail. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Then I'll probably get it physical like, when I get it.
Do it.
All right. Is that it for the reviews?
That is.
Yeah. So I'm on a Mario Tennis review. I'm probably going to write it one night this week.
Oh, okay.
I might actually write it Tuesday because I have a half day at work.
Cool.
So I might do it then. But I'm not sure where to take the review because of the adventure mode. So I'll talk about it more after I publish it.
Mm.
But adventure mode is a big drawback for the rest of the game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's fine. It's just not as good as the rest of the game. It's cool. Never mind. We'll talk about this when I review it.
Okay.
But, Jason, you got a comic rack.
I do. You know, actually, I don't have a comic rack. And, I mean, a real comic rack. And I always think I should really get, like, a spinner. Because that would be really cool. And just have a spinner in my office. Go ahead.
No, that is a really cool idea. Our local comic store is trying to work out a spinner for, you know, on consignment for other stores, like local stores. That'd be neat.
Yeah, I saw something recently about like a diamond previews. I think is starting a comic rack program for spinners to try to get books into like stores that they wouldn't normally be in.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You walk into like a local coffee shop. There's a spinner rack there.
Yeah, that's great.
I've seen those at like convenience stores and stuff. I feel like,
oh man, definitely. That was not unusual at all to go to a grocery store even and see a spinner rack years ago.
Right. So that'd be cool. Plus, I'm always supporting the local comic guys.
Good, very good, very good. They need your help.
So tell us what's new this week.
All right. Well, if I can clear my throat for a second, Jesus. So we've got some Marvel news we'll get into first. The Fantastic Four, of course, we know they're coming back. We've talked about it on the show. We've had plenty of articles up on the website. But this week we had some new variant covers drop. I think we're up to about 50 variant covers for this issue at this point.
Oh, my God.
It's a ridiculous number. I don't know what it is, but it is a ridiculous number. So we had four. I think these are probably the best ones. To be honest, the ones that were released this week that that had their debuts. An artist named Stanley Lau, who calls himself Art Germ, had a set of four covers, fittingly enough, and they are really, really kick-ass. Each one is a kind of like a portrait of one of the members of the Fantastic Four. They look really great. So you can check that out on the website. We have those. And then in a separate story, we have Joe Quesada's variant, which apparently, I didn't really realize this when I was posting this, but apparently this cover was an image that already existed. It's Galactus in New York, and there's military helicopters like buzzing around him. And it's a really cool image. It's really nice, and Quesada is a great artist. So, but I didn't realize that it's an already existing thing, and they're just adapting it to have another variant cover for Fantastic Four number one. So, I don't know. I guess the goal here is to have thousands of variant covers for Fantastic Four number one. yeah, so going for those sales numbers. So that is the return of the Fantastic Four. That happens early next month. I think it's the first issue comes. So watch for that. You are excited about that. More Marvel news. We've got Spider-Geddon to chat about. Spider-Geddon is the next big Spider-Man event in the Marvel Comics universe. It's from Christos Gage and Jorge Molina. It brings together all of the Spider characters again from Marvel's different universes, the multiverse. There's Spider-Man Noir, there's Spider-Gwen, there's Superior Spider-Man, there's the Spider-Man from the upcoming video game with that big ugly white spider. So there's all different Spider characters. For some reason, Spider-Woman is there. I'm just looking at the cover, at the promotional image now. That's a little weird because she's like, that's odd. She's not a quote Spider-Man from one of the universes. And I don't mean that in a man woman kind of a thing either, because Spider-Gwen is the Spider-Man, Spider-Woman of her universe. Spider-Woman, that's, I don't know. Anyway. The storyline follows the Spider-Verse story that came out a couple of years ago. It's got Morlun and his family of spider eaters, and they have escaped their prison and they're going back after the Spider-Man because boy, they hate those spiders. We'll have a lot more on this as it out, but the first details are out. So also interestingly enough, Marvel is saying that, you know, Rick, this may not be appropriate for you because Marvel is saying it's going to be a little bit scary.
Ooh, I don't like that.
So, you know, that's be careful. Fair. Yeah, be careful, buddy.
Thanks.
Also this week we have a story from Dynamite as they are relaunching Vampirella. This new book is, I believe it's called, something Roses. I'm going to click on the story. I forget the title. But it is hitting Kickstarter. Now the thing about this is I get the feeling that this is going to hit regardless of what happens with the Kickstarter. So there will be, a new Vampirella series. The Linsners are on it. Joseph Michael Linsner and his wife, Christina Deke Linsner. She's writing it. He's drawing it. And she's also got a variant cover, by the way, which is coming out in the book. So they're both working on it. By the way, interesting note, for the longest time, I thought their name was Listener with a T, but it is not. So the series is called Roses for the Dead. That's the name of it. It will be out this fall, but the cavalcade of interesting extras are exclusive to Kickstarter. Dynamite says that there is no guarantee that any of this stuff will see actual retail, I guess, except for the, you know, basic retail version of the book. There is a poster calendar featuring art from all throughout Vampirella's history. There is a box set that includes all of the variant covers. for Vampirella number one. It includes two prints, and I believe one of them is signed by Linsner. Yes, one of them is signed. So it's kind of cool. The box that it comes in is actually kind of neat, too. It flips open. It has a magnetic closure, so it's not like a cheap thing. It's neat stuff. If you're a big fan of Vampirella, probably want to check this out. Kickstarter is up now. I believe there's only like a couple days left in the campaign. So if you're interested, you may want to click over right now, but listen to the rest of the show. Then we have Harbinger Wars. Harbinger Wars from Valiant Comics. Harbinger Wars 2, number 3 previewed this week. So if you want to check that out, that is up on the website. It's Harbinger Wars looks pretty cool. I haven't gotten into it yet, but it does look pretty cool. Speaking of Valiant, we also have some other previews up this week. Valiant High, which I have no interest in it, but it's meant to be an all ages, you know, kind of a superhero-y fun book. So Valiant High, number 3 of 4, that comes out this coming week. And also volume 1 of Quantum and Woody, which actually looks legitimately funny, and I have not gotten into that yet either, but I'm thinking about getting volume, see what that's like. So those will be out this coming week. Getting out of Valiant, we'll get into a little bit of Dark Horse. Battlefield 5, the art book, is coming. Apparently a lot of people are interested in this, so yeah. This will be out this fall. It's going to be kind of a big book. I believe it's over 200 pages. Yes, it is. No, 200 pages, exactly, of art and notes about the game. So Dark Horse actually did a art book for the first one, for Battlefield 1. I shouldn't say the first one, but the World War One Battlefield game. So they did an art book for that, and now they have the art book for Battlefield 5 out there, which is centered on World War II. So if you like the aesthetic, I think it's probably a safe bet that you'll like this new book, so you may want to check that out. That hits on, October 16th, which is 3 days before Battlefield 5 arrives. So there's a Battlefield kind of week, if you are so inclined. We'll move into a little action figure stuff now, before we get to the San Diego Comic-Con stuff, because I kind of can't believe that's starting, but yes, it is. So we have King Kong, Skull Island, the action figure. Which is from Mezco. I saw this, and I saw the full-size version of this, which is, I'm going to say around 2.5 feet tall, something like that. They had it on display at Toy Fair in February. If you want, you can take a look for that on the website. We do have images up. This is not that, though. This is the 7-inch figure.
Right.
Yeah. It's and Eric, I know we were talking about this, and I don't think I told you, but it's kind of unclear whether or not that big figure is actually even going to hit retail.
Right. You didn't go over that, but I believe that. And honestly, I think the price tag on this 7-inch one is like $40. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And that's not too much. Like, that's not too much at all. And I really kind of want to get this.
The giant one, Eric.
Listen, I already have too much crap.
What's one more Kong?
I mean, yeah, but when that Kong's 2.5 feet tall, then that's when we're running into an issue.
I will say that Mezco's stuff is great. You know, I regularly review their 112 collective figures. Those are awesome. This is not a part of that, but Mezco's other stuff is pretty good too. I picked up one of their Mortal Kombat figures a while ago, and it was really neat. This Kong comes with an extra head where he's roaring, so you can have him with the mouth closed and contemplative Kong, or with the roaring face. He comes with, I believe. Let me see if this is. It comes with either 5 hands. Yeah, I think it's 5 hands. The reason for the odd number is because one of them is in a grasping position, because he comes with Andaro, so you can actually fit her into his hand, like he's carrying her up the side of the Empire State Building. And it looks like he also comes with a pair of giant shackles, if you want to clip those on and just have the chains dangling. So that's kind of cool. This Kong is not from the Skull Island movie. It is just a like kind of amalgam version of Kong from the 1932 original and Skull Island. You can tell from the sculpt that he's taken little of the looks from the Skull Island version of Kong. Except his head.
His head looks much more Donkey Kong like, actually, in the shape
Ooh,
of it.
Ooh, you're right.
Yeah. Which is that's like the original Kong design, so that makes sense.
You're right, he does look a little Donkey Kong.
Just it looks like an ice cream. Ice cream dollop right on the top of his head.
Kong is he is let's see, 17.78 centimeters tall, specifically. And he has 28 points of articulation. So he's pretty poseable.
That's pretty cool.
Comes in the collector-friendly window box that you would expect from Mezco. So what that basically means for those who are not toy collectors is you can open this box and take them out. You can put them back in. You won't damage the packaging. So you can put them however you want. Make a display out of the box with them. That's the idea there. So that will be out this fall, and they are up for pre-order right now on, not this fall, this more like this winter through holiday. November through January is ship time. And he is up for pre-order right now from Mezco. Mezco's pre-orders do tend to sell out if you let them sit for a long time. So for those thinking about it, Eric, you may want to think about pre-ordering sooner than later. Just a tip. And finally, one more piece of action figure news. I did a review this week of Wave 4 of the Masters of the Universe action figures from Funko. These are not Pops. That may be your first reaction when you hear Funko. These are the reaction figures, which I believe, and I said this in the article, but I think this line is pretty much dead, except for Masters of the Universe. I haven't seen any new reaction figure news pretty much anywhere. You know what? Actually, I shouldn't say Funko, because these are not technically from Funko. These are from a company called Super 7.
You're really blowing my mind right now with the pronunciation of Funko. I thought it was Funko, not Funko.
I think it's either way you like, but I pronounce it Funko.
I mean, that makes sense. It's a toy company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Funko.
I was like, no, Funko.
Like, it's funky.
Funky looking. I get it, yeah.
Oh, God. So Super 7 kind of works with Funko with the reaction line, and they are the ones who actually are producing the Masters of the Universe figures. This is up to Wave 4, as I said. The new wave includes Scareglow, Mechanek, Evil-Lyn, Faker, Orko, and Ram-Man. So the thing about this wave, and what makes it so different from other waves in the series, is that there's a number of figures here that break the form factor. These had pretty much been just your basic action figure with some deviations from that, like Trapjaw, who I believe was in the first series, came with, you know, his robot arm that you could interchange the hands on, so you can interchange the weaponry, stuff like that. But this series really kind of goes one step further. Scareglow actually glows in the dark. Ram-Man and Orko are completely different body types for the line. So Ram-Man is like really huge and Orko is really small. And Mechanek actually has his action feature in that his cyborg neck can extend up. So, ooh. Yes. So that is definitely a first. So this is kind of like a series of firsts. Also, I can't believe it's taken this long to get some of these characters like Orko, Evil-Lyn. I mean, those are, you know, pretty staple Masters of the Universe characters. But we do finally have them. The line is great. It's really terrific if you like this style of 1980s Kenner action figure, which is what they're meant to mimic. You do get Faker in there, who's basically just a repaint of He-Man, but with Skeletor parts. And it's like, you know, but it's Faker, so that's cool. Each one comes with one weapon. They have 5 points of articulation at the neck, shoulders, and hips. And if you like the retro stuff, they're really, really neat. I think this line is going to be continuing forward, because after I posted this, they actually released a a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive look at their next figures in the line, which will be a two-pack of Hordak and She-Ra. That will be exclusive to San Diego Comic-Con, so that's going to be one for collectors of this line to hunt down. It looks really neat, and Hordak does have his cannon arm, so for fans of the cartoon show, that is intact. I give the whole wave all together an 87, and I summed it up with the fourth wave of Reaction Masters of the Universe figures from Super 7 is every bit as good as the first three. Actually, it might be even better as the company is starting to get into different body types and even action features. Minor issues aside, this remains a terrific throwback line that's only getting better. So if you are into it, I highly recommend them. I actually did some quick picks for a Wave 5. I'd like to see Buzz Off, Manny Faces with the action feature, Fisto, Jujitsu, Web Store, and Clawful. I'd totally be into that. So, nothing's been announced yet, though, so that's just me. I think. But anyway, that is the comic rack for this week. But we did have some San Diego Comic-Con news starting to pop up. So the show was in just a couple of weeks, but I just can't believe it's already time. The year is going too fast. So this is kind of a neat thing. We'll talk about this one first. There is an exclusive laughing Prince Adam figure, which will be at Super 7's Hordak Lair pop-up shop. Every year, Super 7 does a pop-up. Since they've gotten the license from Mattel for Masters of the Universe to continue the line. They have done these pop-up shops. They've got a bunch of neat stuff in there that you won't find anywhere else. One of the big exclusives for this year is the She-Ra Hordak pack I mentioned, but the other one is a laughing Prince Adam from that viral video where he sings, I don't even know the name. But it's that, hey, yeah, whatever. So the packaging is pink and glittery. He comes with a pink power sword. The colors are way lighter on the figure than I think the actual Prince Adam figure had. And he's got a brand new laughing head sculpt, which is hysterical looking. So if you are a collector, if you're a completionist, I probably gonna want this one. So it will only be available, however, on the 18th and 19th. So that is preview day for Comic-Con and the first official day of Comic-Con. The rest of the show, he's not going to be around. So if you do want one and you're going to be there, make sure you get down to 701 8th Avenue in San Diego's downtown area. That'll be the pop-up shop. Target that. And I think the price is $40 for them. Then we had HBO talking about some Game of Thrones exclusives. Nothing here that's going to completely knock your socks off, but there is an Olenna Tyrell pop, which is exclusive to their booth. And there is a set of dragon dorbs from Game of Thrones. Dorbs are a little too cutesy for me, but they are tinier pops. You describe them as? People don't know because I think it's a little bit of a lesser important fact. So those will be at HBO's booth. And finally, Marvel Comics talked about their slate of TV and animation signings and panels. Don't get too excited. The movies are still not going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. They are continuing that. Whereas years ago they were all over the place. They have not done that for a couple of shows now. But Marvel Studios will be there talking about their animated movies and talking about the TV shows. So that means a lot of Iron Fist. That is their big show for San Diego Comic-Con. They're going to be promoting Iron Fist like crazy. There will also be some Cloak and Dagger stuff, however. There will be a little bit on Marvel Rising. There'll be a little bit on The Gifted, which is the X-Men show that's on Fox. I wonder what's going to happen with that, because with Disney taking over, if they're going to continue those shows or if they're going to kind of roll everything into the Marvel Universe and restart it. There is a Legion panel. There's autograph signings. Those will be at the booth. If you've ever seen Marvel's booths at one of these shows, there is absolutely nothing in their booth. It is a giant empty space with a giant stage. And the reason for that is they mainly just do stage stuff. So they'll do panels on the stage, then they'll do signings, and that's pretty much it. There's a huge crowd that gathers in front. They'll do some giveaways, stuff like that. But I always joke with my buddies that Marvel's booth is the big booth of nothing, because there is just nothing in it. If I was Disney, I would go crazy with the movie memorabilia, putting them in cases, cool stuff for people to look at, take pictures of. But anyway, I'm sure that won't be there. That is it for the Comic Rack this week. That is it for our San Diego Comic-Con talk. But watch for tons more, because as we head into the show, which does kick off on the 18th, you better believe there's going to be a blitz of news. So stay tuned for that.
Cool, cool, cool. Looks like that's just about it for the show. Let's go over what we're all playing, because I know Rick's doing some cool stuff. I had some cool stuff I was playing. I think Jason was playing some neat things. So, Jason, you want to go first? Since you were
sure.
Just not talking.
I'll continue talking. Cool. So I'm playing a couple of things. I'm going to start playing Wolfenstein 2 on the Switch. But right now I'm playing Crash on the Switch. I am still playing Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr, which is really, really fun. Isometric, you know, action RPG kind of a thing. It's really fun. I didn't think it was going to be quite this fun, but it's actually got a lot of really good and not goofball, like fitting humor in there. Lots of deadpan stuff. Which I like. So far I can recommend that. I am playing it for review. So that should be up this week. I'm going to try to post that as soon as possible, the review on it. And then I am also playing Assassin's Creed Origins here and there. And I'm playing that on the recommendation of Rick. And I got to say, it is a terrific game. I think I said this last week, but I will repeat it. It is great fun. It looks amazing on the Xbox One X. And it's just a really good time. I wish I was playing it more, but I'm trying to get as much Inquisitor Martyr in as I can before I write it. So that's what I'm playing.
Cool. I guess I can go second, unless you want to go next, Rick.
No, go for it, buddy.
Cool, cool. So I've played Hollow Knight. I finished Hollow Knight this past week.
Ooh.
And so it's just a pretty long Metroidvania. It took me like 20 hours, I think, to finish by the time I was done with it. And, you know, there's just so much evolution in gameplay. You unlock so many different abilities and areas and skills and everything. It's cool. I really enjoyed it. If it's a fan of Metroidvanias, you should really play it. I know that you guys got turned off a little bit by its length, and that's totally fair. But it's pretty cheap. It's $15. I think it's worth a look if you're a fan of the genre.
Cool.
I've been playing some Mario Tennis, so that was good. And been playing Mario and Luigi's Superstar Saga for the 3DS. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to play the Bowser's Inside Story when it comes out. And they're remaking Bowser's Inside Story for the 3DS, just like they did Superstar Saga. And it's going to have a similar, it's not really an RTS, but the strategy mode that came on Superstar Saga.
That's cool.
Where you play as Bowser's minions. So that's going to be cool. So, I think that's just about it for me.
I like that series. It's a good series.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. How about you, Rick?
I am playing Vampire and... like Jason playing some Assassin's Creed Origin.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, both great games. Both highly recommend picking them up.
Cool. Well, I guess that's just about it.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else, buddy.
It's been a wild ride. I can't wait for more and more Comic-Con news to come out. And next week, I'm probably going to have pre-ordered the Kong Skull Island figure. So
excellent.
It'd be great. It's going to be the first like high quality collecting toy item I buy. So that's going to be, it's going to open.
Welcome.
It's going to open up the floodgates. It's going to be great.
Welcome to the club.
But thank you for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.